Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And all the pre-season stress, hype, it's all done, Sam. It's done. Game week one, I was going to say it's in the books, nearly in the books. Very, very important game to come tomorrow night down at Leicester City. So Leicester versus Spurs still to come on Monday night. But listen, great to have the Premier League back now.
Oh my God.
Great to have the Premier League back.
It's been like a proper weekend.
Loved it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Even West Ham Aston Villa, which I didn't really have any, I didn't have any FPL interest in that. I just sat and watched it because I was just like, I'm just so pleased.
Football's back.
And it started off in the best possible way, didn't it? The best possible way. We got to watch Man U versus Fulham at Fantasy Football Fest.
Yay.
We're just going to get straight into this today, guys. So we got so much to cover. But if it's your first ever FPL Family live stream, welcome, welcome, welcome. Great to have you along for the season. Subscribe to the channel if you like what you see tonight. We went to Fantasy Football Fest on Friday.
Yeah,
we watched United versus Fulham, the big kickoff. We had the countdown. Absolutely fair play and well done to Ed and to Gianni and to our friend Mark Southerns, who all three of them put that thing together. It was their idea from the get-go. And they just did a brilliant job. It was a really, really great event. In the previous fests we've been to, they have been amazing. But there have been a few people have said about, you know, is the venue big enough? Is it a bit hot in there after a while? Because it's August usually.
Why does the Wi-Fi not work?
Can't you show the football? And they've listened to all of that and they put together this fantastic event down in Vauxhall in London on Friday night. It was really, really great. And I'm going to share some pictures with you. I've done a little slideshow here, Sam.
How many of these pictures did you take, Lee?
I think it's going to work, but I'm not sure. Let's see. Here we go. You know, it's the transitions as well tonight. You see that? See me look. Wait, hang on, in case you didn't see that.
What's happening here?
We've got new levels. New levels. Watch this. Look, there we go. There you go. Do you know what? It's only taken me 18 months to get that sorted.
We've had these transitions for ages, but we've been able to work out how to use them.
Finally, it's worked. And do you know what? I actually don't know what I've clicked to make it work. So I don't know how it's working.
Oh.
It's just working.
Oh, you've not, like, I thought, when you said, oh, I've got the transitions working, I thought you said you'd, like, spent some time this afternoon researching it, working it out. No, just luck.
No. When I say they are working, I didn't get it to work. They are working.
Wow.
So, I don't know. At any moment, if you're enjoying the transitions, leave us a like. But, you know, you can unlike if they stop, because it could stop
Fair
at
enough.
Any moment, to be
Fair
honest.
But
I'm
going to
get on with the pictures. I didn't take hardly any of these, I'll be honest. I didn't have many on my phone whatsoever. But we had an absolutely brilliant night, not just with the other FPL content creators, but we had loads of you guys from the FPL family, from the patron community, those of you that watch us here right here on YouTube, if you follow us on Twitter, we had loads of people coming to say hi to us. And it was just great, wasn't it? It was just great. Sum up the evening.
It was fantastic. I think the new venue made such a difference, didn't it? It was the fact that it was outside, you could get all the food you wanted, like any type of food you wanted. You didn't have to wait 8 hours for a pizza. You could just go, they'd give you a little buzzer, it turned up. It's lovely.
There they are, look, Wilco, Duncan and George.
It's a lovely...
Very nice to see you guys, it really was.
It's honestly one of these events where you go, and I think when it's your first year, and there was a lot of people, because I spent the first hour on the door before you arrived.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come in and they're like, oh, I'm a bit scared. And I'm like, no, don't be. Honestly, don't be. Because it's one of these events where...
The thought of it sounds daunting.
Totally.
Like 400 people and maybe you arrive on your own.
Yeah.
That is quite daunting. 100%. So I can understand it.
And it was so lovely because I stood on the door for ages. Duncan and Wilco turned up first of all, pretty much first. Closely followed by George. And it was lovely. And I spoke to a lot of people who were like, oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I was like, just head down the end. You'll find a familiar face. You'll see one of the content creators and just go and hang out and people will start talking. And that's what I love is I sat on the stage at Fest on Friday evening. And when you and Adam and Baker were talking, I just looked at the audience and was like, it's funny, isn't it? Because half of these people have never met before.
Yeah.
Yet they're all just happily chatting
about united
a
by this
thing.
Common thing so
and it
cool.
is it so it's lovely so and it was so I mean we talk about our patrons a lot on here and how brilliant they are in the Slack and all of that good stuff, but we met some of them for the first time at Fest. We met Matt and George for the first time. Obviously Duncan and Wilco were there. Andrew we've met multiple times. We also met Brian for the first time,
yes,
because he was
yes.
over from America. And it was just...
Yeah, these guys, like, there's a Brian and a couple of his mates had like flown from the US to come over for Fest and see a few football matches, which is, that's an incredible effort, to be fair.
I mean, I think it's one of those communities, and I said to you, didn't I, on the train home, like, when we set up FPL Family, we kind of didn't, I don't think in the back of our heads, we really thought that we'd create a community like we have.
Absolutely
like,
not. No,
this has come from the people that we have that have signed up as our patrons and that have joined us and that come here every Sunday night. And honestly, I think it means more to us.
Andrew
actually.
As well, there he is. There nice he to is. See Andrew.
I think it means more to us in some ways than it does to you guys. Like, they bought you a birthday cake, didn't they? And we sang you happy birthday.
Oh, guys, thank you for the cake and stuff. The guys just bought loads of stuff, loads of cake to eat and stuff,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, my favourite cheesecake. And it was so lovely just to hang out with people and just have conversations and to put faces to names and all of that good stuff. And, of course, to chat FPL, and made even better this year because we could watch the game together and wind up the Man United fans that we had amongst us in Duncan and Andrew, who were living it, I think that's the best thing to say.
Duncan especially is a Man United fan. He and Andrew, let me tell you guys, they were not in a good mood.
No, and I was deliberately winding them up by cheering for Fulham.
Not in a good mood on the 85th, 86th minute of that game. And the mood changed, let's say, when Xerxes got that goal. Let's say that.
Massive, massive thanks to Ed, Gianni and Mark, because putting on an event like that takes time, organisation, effort, money that they've got to put into doing this. So, but thank you genuinely from us, because we love going and it means a lot to us that we can see you guys there.
And one of the photos, you'll notice amongst all of the FPL Family community, and there's a bunch of content creators,
there's
our friend Az and the guys from Scout and Harry, etc., vocals in there. You will notice a former Premier League footballer amongst some of these photos. Tell everyone the Dean Ashton story, because the FPL community on Twitter is a bit like, Dean Ashton's one of us now. And if you weren't at Fest, you might be thinking, no, he's not. Why was it? Dean Ashton
bought his own ticket and came to Fest.
Loves fantasy football.
Yeah. Didn't even
he
get a
is a
ticket.
Fantasy football weirdo like the rest of us.
Honestly, the best thing about it was that we weren't together at this point. Now, you'd gone off to speak to somebody that you work with.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dean went up to you, didn't he? And was like, hi, Lee, and just had a chat with you.
I was like, oh, hi, Dean Ashton.
Yeah, and you came over to us and you were like, Dean Ashton's just been and said hello to me. And I was like, sorry, what's just happened? He was like, Dean Ashton's been and said hello to me. Anyway, and then me being me, I toodled off to the bar because I wanted a free drinks voucher off Gianni. So I toodled off to the bar, I go up to Gianni, I'm like, put my arm around him, and I'm like, Gianni, can I have a free drinks voucher? And he's like, yeah, of course you can. And he's giving me one. I'm not paying attention to who he was talking to. And then Dean's there, just goes, oh, hi, Sam. And I'm like, oh, hello, Dean Ashton. And then he wanted to have a picture with us, which made my absolute day that Dean Ashton.
I'm waiting for the photo to come up. It'll cycle round. But
what
needless to say,
what a fantastically lovely man. I mean, I've podded with Dean in the past on the official pod, yes, and he's always been wonderful to work with. But what a lovely man, and what a lovely conversation we have with him. A
few people saying, "Who's Dean Ashton?"
What?
Boys and girls, come on, get in the Google, and just Dean Ashton, ex West Ham and England. I think got some caps, didn't he? And England legend.
That's a picture of me and Mark.
Early doors.
Yeah, when Gianni said, I'm going live on YouTube, just be quiet, Sam. I was sitting next to him doing a bit of work. And then the next thing I know, he goes, oh, I've got to go and do something. Can you and Mark just take over? Mark and I were just left there. I was like,
love
why
it.
Am I running a deadline sheet for you on your channel? I've got my own channel.
love it. Well, listen, really, really good night. Really, really thoroughly enjoyed it. Let's say hello to... Oh, see the transition then. It's given it.
The transition.
I'm not going to comment on it every time we do a transition.
Can't see this. The podcasters are like, we don't care about your stupid transitions.
The podcasts are like, shut up about the transitions, Lee.
No one cares.
Super chat from Ken's Bronsgrove. Thank you, Ken's. Evening, both. Hello, mate.
Hiya.
Football is certainly back. The refs, refs are rubbish. Half-time substitutions, red cards for headbutts. Liverpool winning, rather not talk about the first half. Life is good. Ken's, we will talk about Liverpool later on because the first half wasn't particularly good, but the second half was very, very good indeed. We're going to talk about that.
I wish I'd got that photo. I wasn't quick enough with my phone.
Yeah, very, very good indeed. We had another super chat from Matthew Knight. Hey, Matthew, how are you doing, mate? Happy Sunday, both. Happy Sunday, mate. Nkunku to Winks. Yeah, whoa, listen, we're going to talk about Mr. Nkunku and how he got on, or otherwise, for Chelsea this afternoon to fund Anderson to Vardiol. So Vardiol in with a clean sheet. City looked pretty good for the pretty good value for the clean sheet as well. I thought, I didn't think Chelsea carved out too much, but particularly sort of last 20-30 minutes when City just controlled the game. Then he'd play my front three of Dom, Isak and Haaland with Winks perma-benched. Yeah, don't mind it, Matthew. We'll cover these points, mate, as we go along. The Nkunku conversation we will definitely have, because I don't know about you, Sam, but whenever I go into a game week one or whenever I come out of a game week one, what I try and do is have as fewer problems as possible.
Well, that's what we hope.
That's what we hope. We go into it and we think, okay, well, I certainly wanted to get through game week one with a view to rolling into game week two. That was absolutely my plan. Uh-huh. I want to set up my teams for game week one and two, hence a bit of Fulham in there. Didn't go for any Villa in the end, although I think they're probably more game week three conversation. This time next week, we'll be talking about Villa, I'm sure.
Yes.
But I like to try and come out of game week one with as few problems as possible. And I feel like I've achieved that with maybe Barco's an issue. We'll talk about him. Maybe Kwanzaa. I haven't got Jarrell Kwanzaa, but that he might be an issue for his owners. But the one, Nkunku is the challenge, I think. He's the one I'm... Maybe. We'll talk about
Let's
it.
Let's talk
we'll
about
talk
him
about
when
it.
We get to Chelsea, because I think there's some interesting talking points there for sure.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. All right, well, let's go to the games. There we go. Nice transition to the games. Podcasters, shut up about your transitions. Let's go all the way back to Friday night, then. Let's talk about Manchester United 1, Fulham 0. Let's discuss that then. So, the game that we watched at Fantasy Football Fest... And I want to go through these games pretty quickly, Sam, because we've got pick'em updates to do, we've got teams, we've got loads of stuff to get through. This game, and I said this to Andrew and to Duncan and everyone that we were watching this game with at Fantasy Football Fest on Friday, that goal was so important, that Xerxes goal. It was so important because it would have been a completely different narrative, and the guys were all taking the mickey out of me for talking about narratives.
Oh, I bet they were.
But the narrative would have been so, so different, wouldn't it? So, so different. If United had lost that game or come out with a 0-0, it would have been, oh, here we go, same old United, because it was a very 50-50 game. I thought it could have gone either way, and Fulham definitely created chances. Mm-hmm. There was one, I remember, Pereira. There was a 2-on-1, and Pereira just needed to slide it through to, I think it was Muniz, I might have been wrong, and Maguire just stuck his foot out and got it in the way. But that's a really, really good chance. So definitely could have gone either way this game. I did feel like United would find a way to win it 1-0, I have to say. Throughout the game, I just thought they'd find a way. And in the end, the new boy Xerxes come up with the goal. Thoughts on the game and thoughts on Manchester United as assets going forward. And let's just, well, them and Fulham actually, because the Manchester United fixtures... Brighton away and Liverpool up next before Southampton away and Crystal Palace away. So three away games for United in the next four and two home games in the next five. But against Liverpool and Spurs, they all look like quite difficult fixtures, don't they? Before we talk about Fulham, which definitely requires some conversation, Manchester United on radar or no for you?
No. I wasn't impressed by them, to be honest. I think there were a couple of players in there that had good games. So I said to the guys at Fest, I was very close. If Garnacho's name was on the team sheet, I'd have done Garnacho to... I would have brought him in for Nkunku. But I was very close to doing that. And it was only when I saw him bench that I was like, oof, I'll wait then. I'll just wait a week or two and then I'll think about it when we're starting to see him get the regular starts. I thought Fulham were impressive. Manchester United,
they were
creative, but lacking. There were moments where... Like, there was that one right at the death, wasn't there, where Garnacho just popped it wide, and it was just like,
If you had Garnacho in FPL, you're bang unlucky there, because that's just an air shot, isn't it? I mean, he scores that 99 times out of 100. Mm. People were saying, oh, you know, he racked up 0.8 XG, so, you know, get on him, because he's racked up a ton of XG in half an hour's football, whatever he played. Well, 90% of that XG was that chance.
Yeah.
And he fluffed his lines, frankly. Yeah. And that was only because Fulham were pushing forward and they just left themselves exposed at the back end. So I wouldn't say I'm rushing to Garnacho with those fixtures, but he was the one for me that stood out.
He was.
Because he did make
too.
A difference when he came on.
Yeah,
Xerxes
did.
As well. I was impressed with him, dropping a little bit deeper, getting involved. I liked it. But Garnacho stood out.
Yeah, he did for me too. Because I think for the likes of Bruno and Rashford... I'm just not seeing enough to warrant the price points.
Rashford, definitely not. Definitely
Even
not.
Bruno, though, Lee, like, I appreciate that Bruno had some chances in that game, but at the price point that he is, I just don't see the value yet. I'm not saying it won't come with Bruno, because he is quality, but right now I'm not seeing it. And with Rashford, I'm baffled why people are buying him, because I just don't think he's worth it. If it was having a Man United player, I'd absolutely go with Garnacho right now.
If you were a Bruno owner, would you be panicking and selling, though?
No.
I don't think you would.
No,
he did rack up some decent XG.
I think if you've gone there, you hold.
There was one in particular in the first half. There was a chance that came from, I think, a Leno poor kick out. And he took it with the sort of outside of his right foot rather than maybe dinking it with his left or I don't know, slamming it down the side of Leno. And it was a poor finish. But I think he got... I disagree with you to a degree there. I think I'm not in the buy camp of Bruno, but he's certainly a not panic, and he's certainly not a sell.
I think
you got him. You stick with him.
I'm not saying I would sell. I'd sell Rashford in a heartbeat. I'm not saying I'd sell Bruno.
You shouldn't have started with Rashford.
Well, no, you shouldn't. But if you have, you sell. But with Bruno, I think you hold for now. But I just don't think he's worth the investment yet. So yeah. I'm just basically saying don't buy him yet. If you really must buy into United, it would be Garnacho that I would be going to.
All right. And from a Fulham perspective, you know...
I was more impressed by them than I was United.
Yeah, and I think up until the goal was conceded, Robinson was on for, I think, at least two, if not three bonus points.
At one point, he was on for three, yeah.
So that tells me that, you know, if Fulham do keep the clean sheet, and we got to remind ourselves of why we got the likes of Robinson and why we went to Smith Rowe and some of you went to Muniz at the beginning of the season, is that their fixtures do look very, very good indeed, particularly the next two. Look at that. Leicester and Ipswich up next for them. Then West Ham and Newcastle both at home with Forest away in game week 6. So it's not until game week 7 with Manchester City that you would say, you know, there's a game that would necessarily trouble them, I'd suggest. So, yeah, the next 5 look brilliant for Fulham. I'm very happy to have Smith Rowe. I know he came off a little bit early, but I think we're sort of expecting that a little bit with the manager's comment saying it'll take him time to get up to full speed and full fitness. And I understand that.
And he kept the clean sheet, so, you know.
He banked the 3. That's absolutely true. But yeah, no problem for Robinson for me.
No.
Happy to have him, actually.
Yeah, me too. And I think, you know, we do have to be a little bit more cautious when we talk about bonus points now, because they aren't adding the shots on target stuff until after the matches that evening. So when we see the bonus points live in the app, as the game is live, they aren't including things like that yet. They're just using the old school metrics. It's later that we add the Opta stats for the goals on target, shots on target and all that jazz. So it does mean that we've seen some changes from what the app looks like with the bonus points at the end of a game to when they lock in at the end of the night. So yes, I think we have to be mindful of that. And maybe Robinson therefore wouldn't have necessarily got the 3 bonus points, but he was certainly in the conversation until that
clean
sheet
went.
Doing the right things. And I think he's a really great option at 4.5. What I saw from him on Friday night was exactly what I hoped to see from him on Friday night.
Advanced as well. Yeah. You know, I think United have got pace on the wings, no doubt about it. So he was a little bit more reserved than maybe we've seen him in previous games and seasons.
He won't need to be against Leicester and Ipswich.
You wouldn't have thought so.
No.
You wouldn't have thought so. You'd expect to see him maybe even a little bit higher and involved in the play. So, yeah, no issue with Robinson. In fact, I'd go as far as to say for the next 5 or so, he's probably... you know, the top one or two defensive picks in that sort of price bracket, 4 or 5. Very, very good indeed. Very good indeed. Harry is in. Hey, Harry, very nice to see you on Friday.
He's saying,
look at these transitions. Go on, he's saying.
I know.
Go on.
See, Harry...
Compared to you, mate. Is he taking the piss?
No, do you know what it is, Lee? I bet this is what's happened. It's when Harry turns up and says, I had 17,000 people watching my deadline stream. You've gone, oh, hello.
That's what it was. I better up my game. It's not that. It's because, you know, he gave me a hug and that sort
taken some magic.
I've taken some of the FPL Harry magic and I've just turned up tonight and they're magically working. This can't just have worked. This is Harry's influence on our channel.
I love that.
There's some wizardry going on and his name's Harry.
Yeah.
There's a link.
I mean,
there.
He is a legend.
Let's move on before we get
if
into that metaphor a bit too deep.
Streams, by the way, why on earth not?
Yes, yeah, sure he had 17k, didn't he?
Yeah, but why on earth are more people?
He
not
turned up late
those?
To Fest and I was like, why are you late, mate? And he went 17k on my live stream. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
No problem. To be fair, I wasn't watching, but had I not been at Fest, I would have been watching.
Let's move on to Saturday, Sunday, Sam. We could talk about all of these games, quite frankly.
Shall we?
Yeah, but let's do it quickly because otherwise this is going to be like a 2-hour stream.
We can't really talk about
it?
All of them, but let's just talk about some.
Let's talk about the... would we call it a captaincy flop? I suppose we have to, really, the captaincy flop. Both you and I went for Isak captain this week.
We did.
I think as soon as the Shah red card happened, and first of all, that is a red card. It's soft.
You can't move your head.
But you can't move your head towards the player. And Berison Diaz goes over like a sack of poo, but it is what it is. You move your head towards him, you're asking for trouble, and that's what happens.
And
so
also, if that happens in your direction and you don't do it,
if Berison Diaz stays on his feet, people are maybe saying, well, why didn't he hit the deck to give them an advantage?
Yeah.
And listen, Southampton needed all the help they could get in that game because up to that point, they were being pretty much outplayed. As it was, as soon as that red card registered, I think all us ESAC captainers just sort of took a big deep breath and went, you know, 10 men now, even that doesn't sound like Newcastle are going to go big now, at least in the way that we thought they might. And so it played out, you know, the Joe Linton goal, he took it well. We did get the assist for that as ESAC owners. We take it. Yeah. But a five feels like a bit of a, yeah, it just feels as if we've had a bit the wrong end of the wrong end of the luck stick there, to be honest with you. But yeah. What else did you make of, I don't want to talk too much about Southampton, but you make much of Newcastle in this game? What did you think of them?
No, I mean, it's very hard to judge Newcastle in this game, playing against a 10-man poor Southampton team, because they're playing against a poor 10-man Southampton team. But I wasn't impressed with Anthony Gordon. You know, defensively, fine, but I don't think anyone's shocked that they kept a clean sheet against Southampton. I think we were all expecting that. Going into it without a Newcastle defender, I pretty much knew that was going to hurt at some point.
Lewis Hall getting the yellow early on, I was like, come on, lad, hold it together, mate. Yeah. Don't get a red.
I mean, I must admit, I was quite pleased with the yellow because that took away a point here. But yeah, I mean, Tino and Hall both with the starts in this one. Obviously, Shah gets sent off. Be interesting to see what they do now without Shah. Where do they go?
Does that accelerate Gaye, maybe?
Does it potentially,
third bid gone in recently, I think.
Yeah, does it mean that that they go in for him? Does it mean, I think it means more, if they don't get Gaye by game week two, it probably means that Livramento and Gaye and Hall become even more locked in those positions, at least for the next one.
Yeah, Nigel the Crab's in. Hey, Simon. Hey, nice to see you on Friday as well. Very nice to see you. He said, great finish by Jellinton. Wasn't convinced by Newcastle.
No, me neither.
I agree, but I go back to what you said, Sam. I think you're right. It's difficult to make that conclusion when Newcastle played for 10 men for most of the game. It's like, how much can we take? For sure, you know, not a problem, I don't think, in our teams. If I look at the Newcastle fixtures, it's Bournemouth, Spurs, Wolves and Fulham up next. I mean, City in six. Maybe we have a look at it then, but that's four. I mean, the Spurs game is a tricky one. Probably a good one on paper, actually, but it's at home. Those three away games look winnable. I'm not panicking on Isak. I'm not panicking on Lewis Hall. The only thing that will make me panic on Isak is another blank against Bournemouth. And game week three, we now start talking about Watkins territory, don't we? That's the problem in three, is that Villa's fixtures, as you can see on the ticker here, guys, and for those of you that are listening on the podcast, the Villa fixtures look really good. After Arsenal in game week two, it's Leicester, Everton, Wolves, Ipswich, and then Man United from 3 to 7. That is the time at which we're all going to get onto Aston Villa. And Watkins is obviously going to be popular. He played today, didn't he? Game week one, played an hour, so...
You know, which were his first minutes?
Yeah, I was just about to say sort of failed to impress, but it's totally understandable when he's not really had a pre-season.
Well, he's not played at all. This not was played his first at all. Minutes.
He's kind of just coming back into it. So, I think Emery will be absolutely delighted to get that win 2-1 today and to get an hour into Ollie's legs. I dare say that he'll start against Arsenal and they'll see how they get on with him there. But by game week three, I'd expect him to be fully up to speed. And if Isak blanks against Bournemouth, there's going to be a bit of an exodus there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think a lot of people, myself included, as I mentioned at Fest on Friday, my sort of plan in my head had been to have Haaland for the first two, then drop to Watkins and get Foden instead in midfield and play it that way. But honestly, if Isak doesn't impress against in game week two, then I can see myself moving him or trying to move him to bring in Watkins rather than losing the big man up top.
Scott Schrager saying, Isak will deliver, hold your nerve. And
it's not really a nerve thing. I think it's just I wasn't impressed in this one, but I don't think there was a lot to be impressed about in this whole game. I mean, it was a good fight, apart from that.
I agree with Scott. It doesn't make Isak a bad pick. No,
it doesn't.
The reason he's 50-60% owned is because he's a really good pick and they have really... Well, let's not say really, but good fixtures where he can score in any of those.
He can. I don't think they're great fixtures, though. I've been saying this for a few months now, like, since the fixtures came out. Everyone's like, oh, they're brilliant. I don't think they're brilliant. I think there's some games in there that he can definitely score goals. Defensively, I think they're mixed.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go back to the fixtures.
You're just loving the transitions.
I don't know if it's a bit too much on the transitions, going back and forth all the time.
We don't have to keep going backwards and forwards on them.
Yeah, we do. Well, I don't It's automatic, Sam. If I change screens, it's automatic.
No, I know, but I think you're changing the screens just for the, you know, transitions.
No,
now.
No, people want to see the fixtures, Sam.
Oh, okay.
People
see the fixtures.
Let's see. While we discuss it, well, you give your view on Ipswich 0, Liverpool 2. Let's go and talk about Ipswich's first game back in the Premier League under McKenna for, what was that, 20-odd years or so? They've been playing in outside of the Premier League and now they're back.
Their last game in the Premier League was against Liverpool, so it seemed fitting, really, that their first game back in the Premier League was against Liverpool. We saw a lot of Ed Sheeran on the TV in England.
Oh, don't get me started
on that, there was
please.
A lot of looking at him. The first half, actually, I was surprised. I think... Well, was I surprised? Ipswich came out in a party atmosphere. The stands were absolutely bouncing. They were excitable. It was 10 players' first ever Premier League matches. And they were all guns blazing for the first half. And I think it took Liverpool a little bit by surprise. Liverpool were struggling to break through. Second half, it was a totally different story. Liverpool absolutely dominant. Salah was great. But we knew he would be. And for those of you like myself, like you, who went without Salah, we knew what we were getting ourselves into. At no point in that game was I surprised to see Salah get a goal and an assist. It was something that was inevitable. I just was waiting for it to happen. But it was made better by the fact that Jota had already got the goal. That obviously Salah had assisted, so that was helpful. And I think, you know, then obviously it was just a case of what could Arsenal do at 3 o'clock from our Arsenal assets that came in instead of Salah, and that went well. So actually, yes, I was frustrated not to have Salah, but I knew what I was getting myself into. He is one of the best FPL assets ever across the whole game. Yeah. So we are where we are with it. Moving in the attack, that front three I thought were excellent. Salah, Luis Diaz, Jota played really nicely in that second half together. I was impressed by them. I was interested by the comments that Slot made about Kwanzaa at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think he was having a bad game when he took him off. I thought he was doing quite well. Defensively, we were solid.
But that I, as a Liverpool fan with a new manager who we're all still getting to know as a Liverpool fan base, I loved it.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I loved it because I, and along with a lot of people, a lot of the FPL community on Twitter, were just like, he's one of our best players, Kwanzaa. And I said to you at half time, I said, Kwanzaa and probably Gravenberch are two best players first half in what was a difficult first half, and we'll talk about that in a second when I give you my view. But I was like, Kwanzaa, I think he's been really good. And then, so I'm like, I tweeted about, you know, probably an issue for Kwanzaa, probably an injury. And then Slot comes out after the game and says, no, we spotted that tactically we were missing a lot of duels, and that meant that we couldn't control the game and the transitions through defence and midfield. And I was like, no, he had a good game, Kwanzaa did. So I looked it up. Yeah. One aerial duel out of four in the first half, Kwanzaa, and only won two out of four ground duels.
And to be fair, how much was the improvement?
I'm sitting there and I'm just like, oh, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. So, yeah, I feel for you. If you've got Kwanzaa, I think that's an issue now. I think it's an issue. And I did, you know, I don't want to be that guy, but a few weeks ago when the Kwanzaa hype was getting, I was saying, yeah, okay.
Did you say that he was a generational talent, or is it just as that you said?
We'll talk about that in a minute. We're going to talk about that. Don't dig out as. We love as. Stop it.
I know, but I have to dig him out of this. He's going to get dug out a lot when we get
Stop
to Brighton.
Stop it. But no. What I did say about Jarrell Kwanzaa was that, yep, looked good in pre-season. Yes, talented young fullback. But just know that at any moment, and I didn't think it'd be halfway through a game, but just at any moment, Konate can come in. And that's exactly what happened. Slot spotted it, and he was like, yeah, you know, we needed to control the aerial duels. And Konate, say what you want about his ball-playing ability, he can win a duel, that lad, because he's an absolute brick wall.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think we were expecting, you and I both, that Kwanzaa might miss a game here or there. We didn't expect him to get hauled at half-time. And now that does cause issues, because if you've bought him, because Liverpool's fixtures are really nice and therefore you'd want to play him. But if there's now the chance of these 1-point games where he's going to be moved on at half time if things aren't working and he tactically wants to change, that is a problem.
And as Harry quite rightly points out, he took the words out of my mouth there. Game week two, who do Liverpool play? Brentford at home, who love aerial duels. That's what they do. And we saw that today in the game. So it's absolutely something to keep an eye on. It's the sort of game where if I was Slot, I'd be looking at the first and second half and be going, yeah, I need to start Konate against a team that loves an aerial duel in Brentford game week 2.
Yeah.
We missed a couple of super chats, Sam, before we move on. So let's got to scroll back a little bit because I did miss them ages ago. Sorry, guys. Malachi Fox, thank you for the super chat. Definitely, Sam, 100% definitely, triple captain in Haaland versus Ipswich next week. Well, we'll talk about Mr. Haaland a bit later on, and I'll come to Ipswich's performance 100%. In just a sec. And a super chat from George. Thank you, George, the legend George Day that we met on Friday. It was a pleasure finally meeting you both and the other patrons. Joining the FPL family, the best thing I've ever done. Love you both. Aww, thank you, mate. Love
George,
you too.
George, we loved meeting you.
Love you, mate. It was really, really great to see you. Really great to see you. And I know that you had, as a lot of people do, there's a bit of anxiety going to Fest. A lot of people feel that. You know, if I'm turning up on my own, how's it going to be? But just, you know, Wilco and Cy and Duncan and George, just like, it was just a brilliant little, great little table, wasn't it?
It was.
And everyone just getting on.
And
really,
thank you for
really
my
good.
Present, George. It's taken pride of place.
It's here, George.
Yeah, it's
here.
On the windowsill, look, pride of place.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it, George, to be honest with you, but we're going to show it anyway. George made this for Sam. This is a picture of Sam and Mickey van der Ven at the Spurs stadium. And George, I now have a bone to pick with you because Sam and I and the kids went to do the Formula One under the Spurs stadium earlier today. For those of you that don't know, you can walk around the top of the Spurs stadium, but you can also do the Formula One simulator, the drive thing under the stadium. So we went to do that. And on the way out, we walked back through the Spurs shop. And what happens? You buy the new Spurs home kit, which isn't cost an arm and a leg, by the way.
Well, because that's by three.
But George, because of your influence, because of what you did on Friday, this has now happened. Would you like to show everybody the back of your shirt?
Yeah.
Your fault this, George, by the way.
Hang on.
Your fault.
Look.
Your hair's in the way. Van der Ven 37 in the club font on the back of the shirt. You've got a lot to answer for, George. That's all I'm saying. A lot to answer for.
You don't need to be jealous of Mickey van der Ven.
That's just jealous.
You don't need to be jealous. You're just as handsome as Mickey van der Ven.
Give me that.
Just not as quick. You don't defend as well.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Let's not. Let's talk about Mickey van der Ven for the rest of the night.
Joseph Maloney, thank you for the super chat. Hey, Sam and Lee. Decent start. 58 points to a game week one. Should have backed Mo for captain. Mate, listen, you, ifs, buts, and maybes. Game week one, none of us had any information, did we? Instead of Haaland, I'm impressed with Jota at number 9. And that's the bit I'd like to discuss now for just as we continue
the
Ipswich. Switch and Liverpool conversation. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are going, oh, well, Jota just about justified his value over Salah, but they kind of came out, you know, Salah a few more points, but we saved a bit of money with Jota, so fair enough. We were a Nats gonad away from
a brace, yep.
And everybody going, the narrative again, the whole conversation this week on every bloody podcast would have been, oh, you can save 5 million by going to Jota from Salah. If he just nets that header. If he gets that header, and it's from a Trent cross, by the way. So I was already banking those points. Trent to Jota.
Lee was on the floor.
I literally had in my hand.
Because
it was 0-0 at the time.
I couldn't get my phone out quick enough. He was hilarious. He just got up, was ranting, and then collapsed on the floor with his head in his hands. And I couldn't get my phone quick enough to take a picture.
But if he nets that, then not only is Trent on a double-digit haul, and everyone's like, we should all have Trent.
Yeah.
And how are you getting from Kwanzaa to Trent? But equally, if Jota gets a brace, everyone's then talking about, can you save 5 million by going Salah to Jota? So we are, you know, I'm not going to go on about it. You know my feelings on Jota. I think he was fantastic. First half, I wouldn't say fantastic. Second half, fantastic. When we have more control of the game, dropping deep to get involved, got the energy to then get on the end of stuff like that header. The guy is just a complete maniac when it comes to pressing. And he and Diaz and Salah, particularly in that second half, didn't give Ipswich a moment's notice. And Leif Davis did an all right job against Mo in the first half when he went man for man with him.
Mm.
But as soon as Salah started getting a bit more aggressive, as soon as we started having control of the ball, give him nightmares.
Mm.
Give him nightmares. And anyone that still thinks that Salah's going to be wide, forget it. He's going to be and is a really good FPL asset. So you get what you pay for.
But I don't think anybody was saying Salah's going to be wide and that's going to make him a terrible FPL asset.
Somewhere.
Well, they're wrong if they're saying that. I think people were saying, I was certainly saying, my preferred route into Liverpool is always to have the number 9 because they're so important in Slot's system. We were always saying, I think, that Salah will be wide, but will come in because naturally that's what Salah does. Salah's not a player that's going to hug the touchline. If it was a Brennan Johnson, he would stay on the touchline, but that's not Salah's style of play.
Mm.
I think for me, yes, I was upset-ish to have missed the Salah points, but I knew it was going to happen. The big thing afterwards was, well, what happens in the 3 o'clocks? Because I've not got Salah because I've decided to have Saliba and Saka.
Yeah.
So if Saliba and Saka do business, then I've made the right call to have Jota and these two.
Yeah.
If they blank, I've got it horribly wrong.
Yeah. In the end, the whole kind of conversation about Salah or no Salah and maybe Saka over Salah, which is what's on the thumbnail tonight, I think it's largely evened out in game week one, isn't it? Largely evened out to a point where neither, regardless of which side of that fence you're on, there's no need to knee-jerk anything.
I totally agree.
I don't think. But I do think Jota will continue to be a really good asset. If you haven't got him, I think you should consider him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got Mo, I think you should consider having them both. I really do. Because the fixtures for Liverpool do not look too bad whatsoever. They are right near the top of the ticker with Brentford, Man United, Forest and Bournemouth coming up next. So 3 of the next 4 at home against opposition where you'd like to think that Liverpool can score some goals. Yeah, Jots is going to be, he's going to be in and around there.
Is he going to get the Ballon d'Or?
I think he should. I think he's absolutely, honestly, I think he's absolutely brilliant. And second on the Ballon d'Or, by the way, is Trent Alexander-Arnold. For those of you that didn't have Trent, and you don't have Trent,
no.
What did you make of his performance?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what? Are you mad? Did you watch the game? What do you mean, yeah?
No, I watched the game. We sat next to you and watched the game.
Oh, my God, so much disrespect on Trent. You're like a casual England fan, aren't you? Oh, should definitely play Trippier ahead of him.
I don't think I've ever said that.
God, my God, he ran the show. Picking passes. The first goal, the Jota goal, it's made by Alexander-Arnold's through ball to Salah.
Sure.
Key pass, thank you very much. Oh, just... He should have had an assist for the Jota missed header.
Sure.
Absolutely ran the show, Trent. Brilliant.
It's the budget, isn't it? And it goes back to that whole conversation again.
He's worth 7. He's a bonus point magnet. Didn't even do anything in the game. Got 3 bonus.
No, he didn't. He got 2.
Oh, I had 2 bonus. Who got the 3 then?
Salah, didn't he? In the end?
I don't know. I have to look at this.
I think Salah got the 3 in the end for his shots.
Oh, yes, he did. Okay, fair enough. Well, Trent should have had... He got 2, should have had 3. He's definitely, in my mind, and yes, I'm biased. Tell me in the comments I'm biased.
You're biased.
He is worth 7 million.
I didn't say he wasn't worth 7 million.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that you have to look at the budget across your whole team. This is why I'm not sold on having Trent. I was hoping that Kwanzaa was going to be an option because at that point, you've then got a cheaper route in. Because I have got a very expensive back 3 at the moment, one of which I only want to keep for game week 1 and 2. And then I'm looking to move on for somebody else. Now, in an ideal world, I'd move to a Liverpool defender, but I can't really get him to Trent because at that point, I also think I'm probably going to want to get to Watkins. So
okay.
I think it's all of that business. And it might be that for people to get from Isak to Watkins, that there's going to have to be some sacrifices. And I wonder whether Trent to Vardiol might actually be a sacrifice people will make.
We've got to move on, Sam. I'd love to talk about Ipswich, but can't be bothered. And we've got no time whatsoever. Arsenal 2, Wolves 0. Tell me about this game. Havertz popped up with what was a very nice header. Saka then does what Saka does. Was limping a little bit in the first half, so we're all a bit like, oh, but you know, Saka limping, it's just par for the course, isn't it? He just
does it. Got something wrong with him.
He's just got a permalimp on. The poor guy never gets a rest, does he? So I'm not surprised. But the goal was very, very well taken indeed. I don't think we're any clearer on who's the best attacking asset, but it's got to be one of these two, isn't it? If you've got a forward slot free, I think you go for Havertz. If not, you go for Saka.
Saka assisting Havertz, Havertz assisting Saka.
Like it.
Come out even. And I think it's hard to know. I mean, honestly, I do think that both isn't overkill. I think if you want to go for both Saka and Havertz, then absolutely do it. There's nothing wrong with it. Saka is what Saka is. He feels like he's always going to return points. He is so important in that Arsenal team and played so well in this game. And yeah, limped around for about 5 minutes and then was fine again. Standard. Havertz, when he's playing up top, I love him as an FPL asset.
Yeah.
You have that moment where you're like, well, if he plays in the middle, do I like him as much? Well, no, because obviously if you want out of position, you want him going the right way out of position. However, I think they both make for really, really nice fantasy picks. And then...
She looks so confident, Havertz, as well. It's like, yet another player, sorry, Harry, that's left Chelsea and just done the business. Like, we've got to talk about Chelsea in a minute.
What a
disaster of a football club. But he's left there, and Arteta's given him confidence. He didn't hit the ground running, no doubt, because you can't just... Confidence just doesn't come. It builds up. And they've stuck with him. They've given him time. They've invested in him. They've let him settle. And now he's doing the business. He's playing a number nine. He's playing it very, very well. Very impressed.
But again, it's not just the attacking assets at Arsenal. Defensively, another very, very good defensive performance.
Raya with a bonus if you've got him.
Yes. Saliba, Gabriel, Ben White, all with the clean sheets. Interesting that Zinchenko's another interesting conversation because you have got the timber factor. He came on during this one.
Did your new boy come on? Calafiori?
Don't remember if he came on. He didn't come on for...
Timber definitely did.
Timber did. Timber came on for Zinchenko. I'm not sure about Calafiori. Saliba did his best to give away a goal. He made one mistake in the game, gave it away, and Wolves should have probably done something from it. But yeah, I mean, look, I think defensively they're solid. I was very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable going without an Arsenal defensive asset. And I've been saying that all pre-season, which was why for a lot of it I had Raya. It was only when I decided to not have Salah that I could afford to have Saliba.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased with that decision to have him. And I'm very, very pleased with the decision to have Saka. I genuinely, and it pains me greatly, but I think that Arsenal will have another fantastic season. And I suspect that they will be in the title race right till the death.
Oh, no doubt. No
doubt. So investing in them... in the team that I think will be the most defensively solid and the team that I think will be up there for goals scored this season, it makes perfect sense to invest at both ends of the pitch. Trebling up probably makes sense, to be honest.
And Scott Schrager's in. Hey, Scott, nice to see you, mate. He's saying Tony going to Arsenal. Will that affect Havertz? I would be shocked if Tony goes to Arsenal. I would be
Why do
shocked.
They want him?
They
Why
don't.
Would they want him?
They don't. No one wants him. That's the... No one wants Tony.
But he must be going somewhere to have been left out of the squad today.
He will go somewhere, and it'll be somewhere for the money. He'll go to Saudi because he's just... I don't think he fits
Arsenal.
His character, and I'm not sure that sort of character would fit in Arsenal. I just don't. I think I'd be shocked. I'd be absolutely shocked if he goes to Arsenal. Again, moving on quickly, Sam. Let's talk about our friend Az then. So he's... He's been bigging up the old Barco. And listen, I'm not digging him out because he's had enough of that. You should not, because he had a lot of absolute...
Well, I did. I sent him a text calling him a fraud.
No, but you shouldn't. He had a lot of dickheads on Twitter, an absolute lot of dickheads. And if you did decide to have a go at Az on Twitter for Barco, you are a dickhead, I'm afraid. He was only calling out what the rest of us have seen.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Young player, had a really good pre-season on corners, and he's 4.0 in FPL. Why the hell wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean?
No, totally agree.
And I actually think that the reason he didn't start this game... Well, it was interesting that he didn't even come on, Barco. I think he's probably carrying something.
There was a rumour that he was carrying.
Wouldn't surprise me if he's carrying something, and that maybe if that can clear up by game week two, he'll go into the team. Because for sure he was having a good pre-season, and for sure he looks very, very good indeed. So despite that, Brighton did not need him and a few others even to get past Everton. Before we get into the multitude of options at Brighton, because the Brighton fixtures, let's just have a look at these. The Brighton fixtures don't look too bad at all, if I remember rightly. Have I got that wrong? Brighton. Yes, there's the Arsenal game in the middle of it, but Man U, Arsenal, Ipswich and Forest, and then Chelsea, Spurs. Okay, so they do look a little bit tricky. Mitoma against Ashley Young. What Sean Dyche thinks he's doing, playing a 39-year-old against, you know, one of the best wingers in the league, is incredible. We need to lay into Everton in a minute because they were shocking. But Brighton, loads of good options suddenly. Or with those fixtures, that kind of put you off.
No, I mean, look, the Barco thing is what it is. I'm only playing with Az, he well knows. It was definitely jestful conversations. However, I think we're just going to have to wait and see what that situation is about. If he doesn't start in game week two, then I think it's potentially a bit of a problem that we've got to deal with. But I'm not dealing with it ahead of game week two.
No.
Last
thing you want to do is spend a transfer on your 4.0, isn't it?
Yeah, just leave him there.
Even if it's a risk he goes to 3.9?
I'm just going to leave him there. Like, I just think there's bigger fish to fry than worrying about Barco. Yeah. I think when it comes to the rest of the Brighton team, though, because they actually scored four times one was ruled out, but they scored the ball in the back of the net four times, which João Pedro was involved in nothing. Not a single one.
Had a good game, though. He's played all right, didn't he?
Yes.
But you'd want him involved,
wouldn't you? But you want him involved. If there's going to be four goals from Brighton. Minta went off with an... I think it was a head injury, wasn't it?
I think it went down as a concussion, so I would expect
him to be okay. Don't knee-jerk him out because of this, I would expect. But it depends, because concussions, if it's concussion, can mean that he misses out on the next week. Because there's rules, obviously, on that. So just one to keep an eye on. As you said, Matoma was excellent. Adringa, I thought, also had a good game as well.
Mm.
There were some really good performances in that Brighton team, and it would be very easy to sit here and wax lyrical about Brighton. But Everton was so bad.
It was poor, wasn't it?
And I sat here and got absolute pelters all pre-season for slagging off Pickford, for slagging off Mikalenko.
Mikalenko's popular
for
pick.
Saying that they weren't worth popular it. Popular pick. But I didn't think there'd be clean sheets. That I didn't think they were in a good place. And
the thing that changed it for me, and you have been saying that, but I remember the Everton correspondent on Planet FPL pre-season was not confident.
No.
Not confident. He was just like, I can't understand why people are picking Mikalenko. We're going to be terrible. And a few of you have said it in the chat, you know, Onana, massive miss. I mean, there's massive gaps at the back. And the Ashley Young red card did not help. I understand that. But without Branthwaite, without Onana... they look really, really out of sorts.
I just didn't get the Everton love. I still don't understand it. I think if you've gone for an Everton asset, you kind of have to stick for game week two, because you need to understand whether this was... Was this Brighton being really good? Was this Everton being really bad? How much was it affected by Ashley Young sending off? Who the hell's going to play there now Ashley Young is sent off?
And you know what?
Branthwaite's going to leave.
And in the match of the day post-match that I saw last night, they're talking to Sean Dyche. And he's whinging about refs, and he's whinging about Calvert-Lewin, and it should have been a foul. And is he, Calvert, that's not a foul. That's not a penalty,
no, it's
mate.
Not a penalty,
come on,
no.
It's, not.
It's not.
And he's just using that opportunity to have a whinge at refs. And I'm like, Sean Dyche, come on, mate. And maybe there's a deflection thing here.
Well, of course.
There's a bit of deflection going on. But I just thought, to come out of that and just, you know, just whinge about refs, it was poor. It was really, really poor. Picking on Everton then, if that's the right phrase, maybe that's the way to go. Because next up for Everton, it ain't getting any easier. They've got to go to you lot.
They're coming to Spurs.
In Spurs' first home game of the season. So if you're a Solanke owner, if you're a Son owner, if you're a Madison or a Porro owner.
Van de Ven.
Maybe even if you're a Van de Ven owner. Get on it. Get on it. Because you're going to want a bit of that. And going back to our Aston Villa narrative about Ollie Watkins and all that from game week three. Well, he's going to be coming up against Everton at Villa Park in game week four. So there's even more strength to the get on Aston Villa in game week three. But if you've got a Spurs asset, listen, we've not even seen Spurs kick a ball in the Premier League yet until tomorrow. But I'm telling you, if Everton play like that, you will murder them.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I honestly have not seen a performance. I don't want to sit here and really neg on Everton. But I haven't...
I do.
I know you do. I haven't watched as bad a performance as that was by a club for a very long time. Honestly, Brighton looked peak... I mean, they look like a team of Messi's. They were so good. But it was because, partly, I think, Everton was so bad.
They weren't good. They weren't good, Sam. Let's go back to the results. Let's do one more game before we do a quick sleeper pick'em update. So let's discuss the Manchester City game. So Chelsea 0, Man City 2. We've just watched it a few hours ago here in the UK. Haaland on the score sheet nice and early. There was a nice stat that Sky Sports rolled out about halfway through the second half, where they said between Haaland scoring and the next touch that they showed on TV of him having the ball, which is on like the 55th minute or something, he'd only had one touch. So he scored, had one touch of the ball, and then his next touch of the ball was in like the 55th minute or something. But here we are talking about Haaland getting two bonus points and a goal. He doesn't even need to be involved, does he? He doesn't need to be involved. No. He's just, that's what he does. Now,
91 goals in 100 Premier League matches?
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It's mad. I have to say, before I go, I'm not going to go too hard on Chelsea, because I actually think in the first half, It weren't that bad from Chelsea. I didn't think it was terrible. And maybe that's just because my expectations were City are going to murder this lot. But there was a couple of players that stood out for me, not from an FPL perspective, but I thought Romeo Lavia was really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And I thought Cucurella was good first half as well. Now, I'm not about to say invest in the Chelsea defence. Absolutely not. But I thought them two were really good. And I thought Nkunku was all right as well, you know. I didn't think he was amazing, but I was kind of surprised to see him come off before 60 minutes for you.
Yeah, because Jackson was woeful in the nine.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand why they just did, why he didn't take Jackson off, push Nkunku into the nine and make that change that way. Because Jackson was terrible. The man can't see an offside when he's looking directly at the line.
There was one in the first half, wasn't there? And it's like, how can you be offside there, mate?
You can't be offside. You're looking, you've got the whole view of the whole pitch. You cannot be offside there. That's just laziness.
But he doesn't look. Like, he's if you look at that replay, he's looking back at the ball like that.
Yeah.
Rather than looking, well, I don't know, but good strikers look along the line. They know where they are.
But good strikers play in teams that are consistent with their players that are around them.
Well,
and there's a relationship. And when you've got 48 absolutely. Members of the squad, you can't have a relationship. And then you've got players like Sterling and his agents kicking off in the beginning, just before the game kicks off.
Yes.
All of that narratives, there you go, I'm saying it now, it comes back. It comes back, doesn't it, around?
Yeah.
I thought we were maybe going to clear this with the new manager. No. We start the season, the same narrative coming back again with Chelsea with this massive squad. I mean, there's all those memes going around of the gym. There's 100 people in the gym, right?
It's
what
mad,
is happening?
Isn't it?
You can't have, like, as bad as Jackson was, I also kind of go, well, yes, you should be able to see where the defender is. But am I surprised that you're looking at the ball? Because you don't know where your teammates are. Because you don't know who's going to be playing
The connection's
you.
Not there,
They're
right?
Not there.
Anybody that plays FIFA Ultimate Team will know that chemistry is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. And when you've got that many players, particularly new ones, and Romeo Lavia, he had a really good game, but that's the first time he's kicked a ball for Chelsea. I know he's been there a year, but he's injured, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So great to see him back, because I think he's a very talented young player, and we nearly signed him, actually, before Chelsea nicked him from us.
Standard.
And I liked him. I thought he was very, very good. I thought he set the tempo really, not really nicely. He's not for FPL, but I think he was really good. And then he bought him off, and I'm like, okay, maybe he's not fully match fit, etc. All the rest of it. And then a couple of minutes later, then he brings in Nkunku off. And I'm just like,
for 1 point.
Do you know what you're doing, mate? And then there was a few players coming on, and the Chelsea players warming up coming on. I'm like, I don't even know who that is.
No.
Like Neto come on. I'm like, is that Neto? Yes, that's Neto. Apart from that, I'm like...
Look weird seeing Neto in a Chelsea shirt.
It did look a bit weird. He bulked up a bit, Neto. Hasn't he put on a bit of
Terry.
Been in the gym, isn't he? With all the other 40 of them down the gym.
Well, they're all in the
but
gym.
Some of the other players that were coming on, I was like, I'm not sure who you are. They bought on like an 18-year-old kid who looked bigger than Neto. I'm like, how are you 18, son?
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Massive.
But there's players coming on there that I've never even heard of. So part of me was thinking, was Maresca just trying stuff out? And you're just like,
yeah, but you've
he
had
he doesn't know his best team, but of course he wouldn't. You've got 40 players.
No, but you've had pre-season to try stuff out. Like, you don't try stuff out at home in game week one against Manchester City. Like, I don't know. Look, look, actually, having said all of this, Chelsea were better than I thought. They played better
first
today
off.
Than I thought they were going to.
First
I
off.
I thought they were going to be dreadful. They weren't that bad. I agree with you on Lavia. I agree with you. On Nkunku, I thought he was actually all right. Jackson was disappointing, had Nkunku been in the nine. And this is what's putting me off about Nkunku. I do not want to make a transfer ahead of game week two.
No.
So Nkunku, actually, because I want to play Robinson, and Nkunku's likely to end up on my bench this week anyway.
Oh, yeah, could happen, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, I think he will, because I want to play Robinson. So I'm sort of fine with that. But I'm looking at him going, well, if that's where you're going to play on the left wing, I don't want to own you. Because I wanted you... Because you were playing in the nine.
He's put Palmer wide right.
And Palmer was ineffective. Palmer needs to be in the middle.
I know he needs to get up to speed, match for everything else, but you don't put your best player wide right, do you?
No. And maybe it's because he hasn't spent enough time with Palmer in pre-season, but, I mean, I'm not being funny, but we all know, everyone's been watching Palmer, and we watched Palmer against England. It was what we thought, as in people were told where to play, and they did play there. It was more rigid as a system. Palmer didn't have the freedom of the pitch in the way that he did under Poch.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought Chelsea were better than I thought. I still...
But not investable. You're not going
no,
there.
No, I don't. I think if you haven't got a Chelsea player, you just don't yet.
Yeah, I agree.
If you've got one, I think you probably have to stick for the next week or so.
I agree. And City, for their part, thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, look, they were playing with... Half half their players still missing. Rodri was obviously out. He had Grealish and Foden on the bench, and he brought Foden on because he lost
Savinho,
to injury.
I don't think he would have wanted Foden on for that long.
No, I don't think he did either. I think he probably was hoping not to play Foden at all, maybe bring him on for 20 minutes. But as it happened, he needed him for the second half. Defensively, their goal did lead a bit of a charm life. There were a couple of opportunities that Chelsea had.
Yeah.
If Jackson had stayed onside, and there were a couple of moments where they sort of got in each other's way. But actually, I thought, you know, as it went, I'm looking at it thinking, I'm glad I've got Vardiol. He wasn't quite as attacking as last season.
Mm.
However, I still maintain, and I said this on the Q&A and I was talking to the guys at Fest about it, I still maintain that this is partly because they don't have their best players yet, City. So when everyone's back and you're playing the system that you know and you trust, I wonder if we might see a change up in the way that the attack shapes, and maybe we see Vardiol get further forward. We'll only know that game week 2, game week 3, when we start getting these players
back.
He was
flirting with Bonus, wasn't he?
He was, from what I understand.
He was in and around it, and I don't think he got any in the end, but he was definitely there.
He was in for one for most of the game. The player actually that impressed me the most in this one was KDB. Thought he had a good game.
Yeah.
He was involved. Yeah. There were some touches of magic in there. I was quite impressed by KDB, actually.
Kovacic probably had a better game than him, I'll be honest. I know he got the goal, but I thought he ran the show, really.
Yeah, maybe. I just thought KDB's creativity was back, and I like that.
Yeah, and as I saw on Twitter, I think it was James again from Planet FPL tweeted, just as I saw it just as we were coming in here, he said there was one player on that pitch that was that remained from the Chelsea team that won the Champions League a couple of years ago. Do you know who that player that was on the pitch? So Chelsea got, obviously, a lot of new players. Who was the one player on the pitch that was in that Chelsea Champions League winning side? Kovacic.
Oh.
Nice stat. Nice bit of pub trivia there from James. I like that. Sam, before we move on, we've got a couple of games just to discuss. We've got to give a shout out to everyone that has joined us for our sleeper. Not that one. I want that one, please. Joined us in our sleeper Pick'em League. So as you guys know, and there has been a lot of other FPL content creators that are getting behind and being sponsored by Sleeper so far this season. If you've not checked it out yet, go and search for the Sleeper app over on Google Play Store or on the iOS Store. Sleeper have been big into fantasy sports in the US for a long time, so very established there. Speak to any of your American friends and colleagues, they'll know about Sleeper, right? But over here in Europe and in the UK, we don't, you know, they're trying to break that market, and they're looking at the Fantasy Premier League and getting in and supporting some of us content creators and the community as a way to, you know, break into the UK market. And they are, yeah, chucking a few quid at us content creators to give away to you guys as prizes. We have tons and tons of just great stuff to give away. We'll talk about our Patron Manager of the Month in just a second. And we've got loads of new patrons. So thank you if you've joined us over on patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below. But one of the things that we're going to do is if you get into the Sleeper app and you sign up, you can join the FPL Family Pick'em League. And what the Pick'em League is, it's a bit like, and I always make this comparison, I shouldn't, because it's not a very good one. It's a bit like the football pools, right? You have to pick.
Oh, you go again.
You have to be like, if any of you old enough to remember the football pools, you choose, of all the games in the Premier League over the game week, you have to see who's going to win, right?
It's more like Soccer 6. I don't know why you don't.
It's a bit like, it's much better, Super 6, much more
people
like Super 6.
People know that.
You have to see, it's football pools, it's Super 6. So you basically just go in there and you say, who's going to win, Liverpool or Ipswich or a draw? And you just select which one.
Yeah.
It takes like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it's all completely free to play. There's no betting or crypto or any of that crap. It's just you get in the Sleeper app, who's going to win the game or who's going to draw. And the more you get right, the more chance you've got of being our winner that week. And the winners will get a £75 kit bag voucher. So if you haven't got your shirt for your football team so far this season, unlike Sam who has with Van de Ven on the back, I still haven't. This is last season's away shirt.
I would have bought you one today, by the way, you know.
Well, we went to the Spurs shop, so I'm glad you didn't.
I know, but I could have got you for Mickey Van Der Ven.
Absolutely not.
I find that very
absolutely
attractive.
Absolutely not. No.
I've thrown you now, haven't
no,
I?
No, you've thrown me. But get into the Sleeper app and do your Pick'em score selections for the game week. And if you are the top winning, if you get the most points in a game week, we will announce you guys, or whoever you are, as the winner of that particular game week, and you get a £75 kit bag voucher. Every single week we're giving these away, every game week, and it's super easy to play. So get over to Sleeper the Sleeper app, download it and get into our Pick'em League. And the link to the Pick'em League is in the description below.
But it's not just that though, Lee.
Go on.
Because if you win the Sleeper League overall, the Sleeper Pick'em League...
Do you know what? This is true.
Because you keep forgetting to tell about
forgetting.
This.
Go on.
So yes, you get a £75 kickback voucher every week.
There's one up
for
grabs.
If you are the winner of that match, that game week. But over the course of the 38 weeks of the season, if you win our Pick'em League overall, you are the highest point scoring manager of the season.
Over the course of the 38 weeks.
You will win 2 hospitality tickets to a Premier League team of your choice.
Game of your
choice. For the 25-26 season.
There it is. So for next season.
Yes.
Because obviously...
we have to wait for game week 38 to be played out.
Yeah, if you're the winner of the whole season, we can't then invite you to a game that season. Yes. You'll get to a game the next season.
So we will have a conversation with you. You'll be able to tell us which team you support, which game you'd like to go to. We'll do our best to get your preferred game. Obviously, sometimes it's quite hard. But we will get you hospitality tickets to a game of your choice. We'll get your top 3 and we'll try and get them in the best we can.
Yes.
But yes, so
and
that will be
very
exciting.
Good question from Ken's Bronsgrove in the chat. So if I look at currently right now, and obviously we've got Spurs and Leicester still to go, but currently in the FPL Family Pick'em League for game week 1, we have a lot of people on 8.
We do.
A lot of people on 8. So Ken's is in the chat saying, what happens if people are tied? We will draw it at random, Ken's.
Draw.
We will draw it at random. Now, what I was hoping was we would do that draw and we'd announce winners on a Sunday night.
And we will if there's no Monday night game.
If there's no Monday night game, we will. If, like there is this week, a Monday night game, we will announce it on the rest of our socials.
Yes.
So get over to Twitter, follow us on Insta, might even do a TikTok thing. But as you can see, quite a few of you FPL managers, I've done 7 this week, so I've done all right.
Oh,
done all right this week on 7. I've predicted 7 correct outcomes. But there are a bunch of people on 8 in our Pick'em League. So what we will do is we'll take everybody that gets 8, or there'll be some that get 9 after Spurs and Leicester tomorrow night. So whoever gets the 9, we will put your names in a hat and we will draw that at random.
We'll do a random
generator. And the random winner will get announced on our social media. So every single week you can win with Sleeper. So get onto the Sleeper app, get into our Pick'em League. Just spend 30 seconds just picking who you think is going to win. And you never know. You might be in for a chance of winning that £75 kickback voucher every single week here on FPL Family. So there we go. That is this Sleeper promo done and dusted, Sam. Where else do we want it? Let's talk one or two more games. One or two more games from the results page before we get into our teams and how we got on. Little, what have we not covered?
Little chat on Aston Villa and West Ham.
Little chat on West Ham 1, Aston Villa 2. Go on then. What does your little chat contain? Interesting that Onana scored. Everton were that bad. He's got to score for
us. Do you know what? I thought he was probably Aston Villa's best player as well. I thought it was
very
excellent.
Good performance, yes.
Really, really, really good. I was impressed by him. A lot impressed by him, actually. Lovely goal. Lovely, lovely headed goal from him. I mostly actually wanted to talk about West Ham, though, because for some unknown reason, at the back end of last week, I decided that Jarrod Bowen was like the best thing ever, and I really, really wanted him in my FPL team, and I couldn't quite get there budget-wise. And then I watched this game, and actually, as I was watching the game, I was glad I didn't, because one, Pacatar's on pens, which we learned in this one.
Yep.
I would assume that because he took this first one, that means he's on pens for the rest of the season. But secondly, it was Mohamed Kudus who really impressed me in this one from a West Ham perspective.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think, you know, looking at the Hammers, if you do want to invest there, and they have some decent fixtures on the horizon... transition back to the fixtures.
Let's
I'm
have
sure
a look at
coming.
Those fixtures. Here we go. Let's read them out. Hold on. Oh, I struggle with the size of this screen. Here we go. Crystal Palace away next. City at home. It's not that difficult
no,
looking next to. Fulham, Chelsea, Brentford, Ipswich after that. Yeah, game week 4, I could see maybe an investment.
Which is why I think eventually I decided not to go there with any West Ham assets. But at the moment, it's Kudus that's sitting firmly on my radar now, because at 6.5 million, if Nkunku after game week 2 isn't performing, I think there could be a conversation that comes up, because Crystal Palace weren't defensively solid today by any stretch of the imagination. And obviously there's the rumours about Gehi and Anderson and whether they both... or one of them might exit stage right. So Kudus is just one, I think, for me, that I'm just popping on my watch list. I'm not going to invest now, but on the watch list for sure.
Okay, very good. Any words on Villa then?
I don't have any Villa assets at the moment. And that was something that I was struggling with and pondering on Rodgers, pondering on Watkins. But obviously the front three kind of picked themselves for me. And I think with the Arsenal game up next... for Aston Villa, they were a team that I was prepared to kind of just wait on, because in pre-season they hadn't hadn't been great the last few matches. I hadn't been impressed defensively. Morgan Rogers' form had been brilliant in the early part of preseason and then dipped quite substantially in the latter part. So I just wanted to wait and see, because West Ham away and then Arsenal felt like two quite difficult games to start the season. Now, they've got the win out of this one. I'm not sure that they will next week, but we'll see. But I think coming out of game week two and into game week three, that's the moment where I'm going to be wanting to start investing in Villa. So all eyes on them next week to see who impresses in the game against Arsenal.
Didn't mind Rodgers. You know, Heathy22 in the chat is saying, Rodgers getting the full 90 and performing decently.
Yeah,
as promised.
He was fine.
I'd agree.
Yeah, I'd agree.
No panic if you've got Rodgers.
No, definitely.
That's
not
a hold. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think probably bench him next week unless you've got to play him.
Yeah.
Because I think they've got Arsenal next week. But then from game week three, no problem with that whatsoever. And then the last game, I keep moving pages for some reason. There we go. Let's get back here. And then the last game to discuss is just Brentford 2, Palace 1. If you own Eze in FPL, you are bang unlucky. Bang, bang unlucky. Because that is goal of the weekend.
It's a great goal.
That is goal of the weekend. What a strike from Eze. I don't know what the referee's playing at, and we've got to what? Where are we at? An hour and 10 minutes through this live stream, and I've not whinged about a referee. I didn't even mention the fact that Ipswich should have had a man sent off for a deliberate handball. I've got over that. This is a new me this year, Sam. I'm trying not to be too negative about referees. Even against my own team. Deliberate handball, not a second yellow. Give over. It's a joke, isn't it? It's a joke. Anyway, this one. I can't. We've got to say something.
Well,
because if you own Eze, you are bang unlucky.
Yeah, because he blows the whistle, and as soon as he blows the whistle, that's it. It can't be a goal.
Oof, it's a shocker.
And even VAR can't do anything because he's blown the whistle.
And I'm pretty sure, didn't we hear from Eze, or maybe it was the manager, or maybe it was Glasner that came out and
Glasner said.
Didn't he say the ref had come to apologise and said that he had got that wrong?
Yeah, he had got it wrong, and.
Wow.
But wasn't it his first Premier League game?
Wow.
The ref.
Probably. It might be his last after that. I mean, it's a shocker. It's a shocker.
It is.
In the grand scheme of referee shockers...
It's bad. It's very bad.
I don't know. Compared to what we saw last season, it's pretty par for the course, I'd suggest. But in terms of the weekend, it's the worst one this weekend.
Yeah, it is bad. And hopefully that's the worst that happens. I don't want anything worse.
Oliver, no FPL. Yeah, the ref was a noob.
Yeah, I thought he was. But I think he's just had a moment. He's just blown the whistle and then he's realised what he's done. But the trouble is, as soon as you've blown the whistle, nothing can be done because they can't fix it because the game's done.
So if you've got Eze, you're unlucky.
Will he still be a Palace owner?
Palace player?
Next week? Don't know.
Don't know.
And this is why I haven't gone with Eze.
With Savinho out now as well.
Yeah. So now they've lost Bob and Savinho. So now they're in even more trouble because they needed Savinho for Bob being out. Now it's even worse.
Yeah.
We'll see. From a defensive perspective, I've got Henderson as my goalie. I wasn't loving it on Friday night when I nearly changed it on Friday. But then the thing is, I nearly changed it for Flecken. So Flecken did outscore him, though. Flecken got a couple of save points, didn't he?
But as we said at Fest, and we've said on other podcasts, show me a ref that you like this season. That's difficult. Show me a goalkeeper that you like this season.
In the 4.5s, for sure.
Yeah, Raya. Absolutely Raya. But elsewhere, you can't.
Big Vic. We'll see tomorrow.
Maybe. But Munoz, for those that have got him and decided to splash the cash and do an extra 0.5 to go from a 4.5 to Munoz at 5 million... gets the assist and found himself pretty high up the pitch. Was in the sort of areas that you'd hope if you're owning him. So that's nice. I think his owner's fair play for getting him in.
I wasn't convinced by Palace in this one. And I wonder whether that's just because there's so much uncertainty at the moment. Like, is Anderson off to Fulham? Is Gahey off to Newcastle? Is Eze off to City? Elise's already gone off to Germany. Mateta was back and did... 60 minutes-ish, I think, something like that. Eduard came on, and actually Eduard looked good when he came on. So I don't know with Palace. I've got Henderson. He's my only asset. For now, I'm happy to just stick there.
Cool. All right, well, that's pretty much all the games, Sam. Let's talk about our teams for what it's worth. I mean, scores-wise, yes. Overall rank, not worth discussing for a few weeks yet, I'd suggest. But I'm on 62 with Solanke still to play, so... I would call that
a win,
pretty good game week one. I'm pretty happy with that. And again, I go back to did I come out of game week one with, you know, minimal problems? Yeah, Barco maybe is a problem, but I'm not going to deal with it. Nkunku's the one. I mean, if I'm looking at that team, I'm going, Nkunku's the one that you might think about doing something with, maybe. But I'm still willing to give him a bit more of a chance. I still want to see what this Chelsea team looks like and then play somebody other than the best team in the country. Do you know what I mean? So, and him get more than 58 minutes or whatever. So I'm willing to give it some time. Like you, I think I would be, you know, given that Smith Rowe in particular is going to have some pretty good fixtures coming up, I'm more likely to bench Nkunku than Smith Rowe at the moment. I know that I've got Winks and he will stay on the bench and stuff, but it might get to a point where I want to play the likes of Robinson alongside the three that I've got there. Trent and Gabriel are always going to play pretty much. I might want to play Hall and Robinson and Smith Rowe, and therefore Nkunku maybe gets the best. I don't know. But as it is, the team is in all right shape. I'm okay with it. So Solanke's still to play. Pick the wrong captain, but I think that game could have been so different if Shah doesn't get the red card. Yeah. It really could. So it's just a game state thing more than it was a wrong decision. So yeah, happy day, 62. It's okay. Overall rank of 1.73 for what makes that literally, if you're looking at your rank now, forget it, guys. You've got until, I would say,
unless you're winning, and then look at it to your heart's content.
If you're in the 80s and 90s this game week, absolutely. Have a look.
Enjoy it.
Write it down and, yeah, shout about it on your Twitter because it's ace. Do it.
Yeah, but if you're at 1, 2, 3, 4 million, don't worry about it.
Literally doesn't matter. Literally only a few points behind me, yet a couple of million places down. 55 for you with two to play, so Porro and Solanke still to go.
Yeah.
Again, that's all right. Good start.
Yeah. I'm all right with
this.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is what it is. I think Smith Rowe, I saw enough from Smith Rowe that I'm not worried about that.
Like, yeah, me
that's
too.
That's fine. And Nkunku, yeah. I didn't love the pick when I made it. I don't love it now.
George tried to tell us at Fest, didn't he? I was waiting for... So when I first met George, one of the first things he was talking to me, he said, right, let's have a look at teams. We're sharing teams. And he said, you can't have Nkunku. And I was like, why, George? Why? And I was expecting some sort of, you know, statistical analysis or something, some really deep and meaningful insight from George. And he just went, well, Chelsea are crap, aren't they? So, and I was just like, he's not wrong.
They are.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Absolutely, you're right, George. They absolutely are. However, I went with him and I wasn't comfortable with it. And I said, I think one of the first things I actually said to Duncan and Wilco when they arrived and handed me a load of cake and a peach iced tea. And I was like, guys, I don't know if I want Nkunku. I might go for Garnacho. And I genuinely would have done that. If Garnacho was starting, I absolutely would have done that. But I wasn't sure about Kudos, who was the other player I was looking at in that position, because I wanted Bowen instead. Now I feel slightly differently about that one. It felt like I just had to have a 6.5. That felt
to cover the price
that
point more,
price
I think.
Point
silly,
felt important,
isn't it? Yeah.
And I felt like I needed to pick somebody. And I didn't really know.
I
still think it was important
it's
to have
right
somebody
strategy,
in that position.
Yeah, it's the right strategy.
But I just didn't really know who it was. So anyway, he's there. He's fine. I'm not doing anything about it. He's on the bench anyway for game week two. So whatever. Because I do want to play. Yeah, because I want to play
Robinson.
You're
pretty sure. You've busted him on your bench, have you?
Yeah, because okay. I'm going to play Vardiol.
I bust him on my bench.
I'm going to play Vardiol against Ipswich, clearly. I don't want to bench Saliba, even against Aston Villa, because I just think that could absolutely kill, because at Arsenal, they could easily get a clean sheet there. I want to play Pedro Porro against the worst Everton team I've ever seen in my whole life. And then there's Robinson, who I want to play as well, against Leicester, who have got no players. So I'm going to have to play a back four next week, which means losing. I'm not going to bench either Haaland, Isak or Solanke, let's be honest.
Absolutely not.
I'm not benching Saka. I'm not going to bench Smith Rowe because I saw enough from him on Monday evening.
You're playing Barco at home to Man U. You're going to risk that?
No, I can't. I've got my back four, haven't I? So yeah, that's where we are.
You're going to play them. Oh yeah, absolutely. You're going to add Robinson to that back three.
So somebody
and you're sorted,
from the midfield's got to go, and clearly it's not going to be Jota or Salah or Saka. Sorry, and so it's a choice between Smith Rowe and Nkunku. And I saw a lot more from Smith Rowe that I liked than I did from and the fixture I prefer as well. So that's where we are.
I've currently got Nkunku in, but Hall benched. Lewis Hall away at Bournemouth. I mean, that's...
They've just got their new signing, though, haven't they?
That's a conversation to be had, isn't it, I suppose? I don't know. It would be... It feels a bit wrong to play Hall over Nkunku.
So what...
But, yeah, who knows?
So, look, I mean, we are... We are a Pedro Porro clean sheet away from being level pegging at the end of game week one, which is fun.
Yeah. Well, and listen, he could get more than that. Well, he's capable.
Well, let's see. But the plan was always only to own Pedro Porro for two game weeks. He's in for Leicester, he's in for Everton, and then he goes and he becomes a 4.5, and that's the money I need to either upgrade Nkunku if I want to pay more for a midfielder, upgrade Isak if I want to get to Watkins, whatever it is that I want to do. It's
that's your Isak to Watkins bank, isn't it? Yeah, I like it.
Because I don't fancy Spurs for clean sheets. And do you know what might happen? I might go Pedro Porro.
To Van de Ven, of course. Of course. There we go then, guys. That is it for this week. So, yeah, listen, don't... However you've got on, don't look at rank. For goodness sake, don't look at your rank. Like you're saying, unless you're top 10 in the world, then shout about it as much as you can. But... rank is not important for a few weeks. We will start worrying about rank late September, October, game week 6, 7, 8, something like that, right?
We start thinking about rank.
Game week one really is just about... we've got much, much more information now than we did a few days ago about teams, about what we're likely to see. Some more questions than we thought we were going to have. So as the, you know, we've got some answers to stuff. We've got a load more questions to stuff. That is the art of FPL. But what we do know is that, you know, the season is now underway. The fixtures look good for certain teams. You know, I was impressed by Fulham. I thought Liverpool played well in the second half. Arsenal were doing Arsenal things. City were doing City things. So I wouldn't necessarily say we're coming out of game week on with a lot of shocks, are we? I think
We've still got one more game.
We've got one more
game. Unless Leicester decide to go peak Barcelona with no players.
Could happen. I doubt it. I think the biggest learning point I would say out of game week one was that, you know, how bad Everton were. And I know they had the red card, but I would say, you know, they're the team to target. And if you've got two Spurs players like you have going into game week two, regardless of what happens against Leicester tomorrow night, I would say that's a good position to be in for game week two, coming up against those Toffees. No doubt about it. Quick shout out to any new patrons that have joined us in the last couple of weeks or so. So as we lead up to the season, usually we get quite a little influx of new patrons. So if you've joined us over on patreon.com/FPL family, welcome to the family. Lovely to have you along, and thank you for supporting us over here with what Sam and I do. A load of you joining at the Manager of the Month tier, and that's no surprise to see people coming in at the Manager of the Month tier, because we have supercharged it this season, and we mentioned this on our live stream last week. Usually, going back into Patreon competitions, our Manager of the Month competition that we've been running for a few years now, if you come first in that Manager of the Month competition, you get a shirt. And we've given out tons of football shirts to all sorts of patrons all over the world. But this year, this season, we're being sponsored by Sleeper in the same way that we are with Pick'em. So Sleeper have not just put some money behind the bar for Pick'em, they've put money behind the bar to support our patron as well. So now, if you come first, second, or third, the top three will all get a Premier League shirt of your choice now. And if you come first, you will also get £100 kit bag voucher to go on top of that shirt. So you could get two shirts. You could get like the home and away shirt if you wanted to. Right?
Or buy a friend a shirt.
Buy a friend a Mickey van der Ven shirt or something. I don't know. Whatever. But listen, that is supercharged and it's still the same, right? So if you're an existing patron, nothing's changed. You've just got more chances to win stuff. And if you haven't checked us out over on patreon.com/FPL family, the links are in the description below. That is a great tier to get started at. $5 a month or the equivalent in your local currency to join us for our monthly Manager of the Month competition. And you've got a pretty good chance of being in that top three and winning yourself a Premier League shirt of your choice and even £100 worth of kit bag vouchers if you come first. So patreon.com/FPL family is where you will find all of that good stuff. Sam, what is coming up this week?
Well, Lee, I would like to sit here and say it's going to be a bit of a quieter week this week now the season's underway.
That'd be ridiculous.
Of course it's not. Of course it is not. So last week we did a lot of content. I did the Premier League launch event. We did...
That was good fun, wasn't it?
That was great fun. In fact, we didn't talk about that at all, did we? Yeah. No. Met Jermaine Defoe, had a wonderful conversation with him about the 9-1. Then, obviously, it was just great. It was a great event. But this week, we've got lots of content going on. So, Lee and...
I'm on.
Az.
Yes.
Don't pick on him.
I'm not picking on him. You've been picking on him.
Generational talent he is, Az. Lee and Az will be on this week's Off the Bench podcast. I think you're recording that on Tuesday.
Tuesday morning. So you'll see that, yeah, Tuesday lunchtime-ish, I guess.
Yeah, so that'll be out Tuesday lunchtime. You'll be able to find that where you find the official FPL pod on that same stream. So that's happening then on Thursday this week. Kelly and Jules and I will be back with the official podcast talking about the fact that Jules and I are going to end up on exactly the same points this week.
Are you?
Because we've got the same two players left. And then on Saturday morning, you will be able to find us live on Sky Sports News, getting ahead of game week 2.
Nice. All right. And amidst all of that, I've got a trip.
And Ohana, of course.
Ohana on Thursday.
Might be just me for Ohana.
Might just be you for Ohana this week, because I am away this week, aren't I? I'm going to be in Stockholm for a few days. So I'll be back on Friday, ready to hit the ground running in the Sky Studios on Saturday. But yes, lots going on, guys. Lots going on, as you'd expect here in FPL Family. Always
busy times,
particularly as we get going into this new season. So yes, thank you for joining us. That's the first proper kind of live stream done where we've been talking results, and we will do this every single Sunday, right? So whenever we can, children permitting, all that sort of good stuff. Nine Sundays out of 10, we will be right here discussing all of the weekend's FPL actions. So if you're new to the channel and it's your first FPL Family live stream, and I've seen a few comments to say, never knew this channel existed. Is that Sam from the official pod? Didn't know she had her own channel. I'm over here and I've subscribed. It's lovely to see you and your husband.
Aww.
So there's loads of people finding us through all these other things that we do. So if you're new to the channel, leave us a like before you go. Hit subscribe. Yeah, well done in Game Week 1 so far. If you've got a Solanke, you've got a Porro, you've got a Madison, you've got, who else? You've got Son coming up. So Van de Ven.
He's the second most bought shirt at Spurs.
Is he really? Okay.
Yeah. The guy said to me today, I said, who's the most popular shirt?
Well, here's after day, because you bought one and Evie got one as well.
Yeah, well, she got a match her mummy. Who do you think is the most popular at Spurs?
Well, Son, obviously.
Yeah, of course. So he said, but after Son, who do you think it is? And I was like, I don't know, Madison. He was like, used to be Madison. He's like, it's by far and away Mickey Van der Ven now.
Big Dom, is he going to take his time to...
Well, apparently Mickey Van der Ven has just become like the legend of the lane.
All right, wow.
Well, it must be your influence.
Must be your influence.
I think I've created this fan club, to be honest.
Yeah, it must be your influence.
It deserves it.
Guys, thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll see you next Sunday. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.